Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Tech Talk, this is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll get a full rundown from this year's Mobile World Congress. What was announced, and has the phone of the year just been unveiled? Later in the show, we'll take a look at the very concerning issues that have been raised in relation to Meta glasses. And as always, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now, techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll get me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Now, last week, thousands of tech fans, journalists and brands gathered in Barcelona for Mobile World Congress. And in amongst them all was our dear pal, John Riley of TheEffect.net. Who is with me in the studio now. John, how are you?
Good, Jess, and you?
I am very well, thank you. For those who don't know, like we were talking a few weeks ago when you were here about how the tech calendar used to be fairly set. So you'd have Mobile World Congress, you'd have IFA in Berlin, you'd have CES in Vegas, you'd have a few iPhone events, and that was the height of it.
Yeah.
Things have obviously changed now. So as of 2026, what is Mobile World Congress and who and what are there?
It's still one of the biggest consumer technology shows. As you said, it's Mobile World Congress. So a lot of focus is on the smartphone developers, and there's been shifts, there's been changes over the years. I've been going on and off for God knows how long now. And it's just the Chinese manufacturers are starting to really kind of push in there and show their weight, and rightfully so. And then we've got the likes of Samsung out of Korea. Those guys are kind of going off doing their own thing for the last number of years. They had their big launch there, I think last week over in San Francisco, a number of days before MWC kicked off. So we were there, I was personally there with Xiaomi to check out their new devices entering the market. Honor had a strong presence. A lot of other different brands. Samsung had obviously just shown off their stuff in San Francisco, but were there very strongly with their kind of booth or giant staging. Like this thing is like nauseatingly massive. And I know you know that, but like even I'd forgotten. And then again, going around the halls this year, I was just like, Christ on a bike, I need one. Like I need a e-scooter or something.
Yeah.
It's just, they're so huge, but it's still, it's there's so much business being done.
That's what I think. I remember the first time I went to MWC, it was years and years and years ago. And I kind of had it in my head that it would be like an event like the Young Scientists at the RDS.
Yes.
Confined to like one giant hall.
Yeah. But then you go into the next hall.
That's the same size as the RDS. So like there's seven or eight of them back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
So it's massive.
About 10 RDSs at least,
RDSI.
I think.
Yeah, no, but it's huge. And again, in my naivety back in the day, I didn't expect to see all the mobile networks there.
Yes.
And all their tech partners in terms of the infrastructure of building the 5G network or the 4G network as it was when I started going to these. And it's a really important one, not only for us nerds who want to see the phones, but also from an industry point of view. And as you said, there's an awful lot of business being done there.
Oh, God, yeah. It's a stage setter for a lot of these brands. It's kind of, you know, CES has their Vegas kickoff in January, and then MWC usually falls this time of year, end of March or end of February, early March. And yeah, there's a lot of like hands being shook and significant individuals. I think the King of Spain turned up. I saw him popping his head in one of the days. Like it's a serious kind of boost for the economy each year. Like the taxis, the buses, the hotels, everything and anything is booked up within months in advance, because it's every year. So it's the same location.
Yeah.
So it was just really good to be part of that buzz again this year. Yeah.
One of my clear memories of the tech trips, and I don't do as many of them, but me and you and Mark Kavanagh standing outside for a Huawei event.
Yep.
And it was absolutely roasting, and we were so very excited to go in, because this is when Huawei, I think it was around the time of the P20.
They were peak, and in Europe.
Like being camera fans, you and Mark in particular were buzzing for it.
Yep.
And so that, again, although you have all the RDSI type setup, you then still have the breakaway events where phones are being launched and all the rest. So take us through your last few days. Like, what did you do? What was on your agenda when you landed in Barcelona?
Yeah, so it was kind of whistle stop once I landed on Saturday the 28th, just so last week. And Xiaomi were kind of kicking off a day or two before the official MWC kickoff for media, which was Monday the 2nd. So Xiaomi brought us all to a specific venue to show off the new, brand new Xiaomi 17 series, making its global debut. So you've got the entry level, for want of a better term, Xiaomi 17, and then followed by their Xiaomi 17 Ultra. Now, if you remember, this is the successor to my phone of the year last year, the 15 mm-hmm. Ultra. People were like, where's the 16? The iPhone 17 came out last September, October. Xiaomi didn't want to be seen to be in.
They're so funny
on the back
they?
Foot.
They're
so they jumped 16 and jumped up to 17. So don't get confused. The Xiaomi 17 is the newest and latest handset from the manufacturer. And I've tested the Xiaomi 17 and the review is on theeffect.net as we speak. And I'm currently going hands on with the 17 Ultra. And as you can imagine, I'm a very happy bunny.
I can only imagine. So in terms of the spec sheet, let's just run down some of the fundamentals. So when you open the box, what are you getting?
Yeah, with the Xiaomi 17, this is the more compact version of their new devices. It's the 6.3 inch display, about the same size as an iPhone 17 Pro, if your listeners are aware of that kind of type, more compact size. But it's got a massive 6,330 milliamp hour battery. So that's about 50% bigger than the 17 Pro. So again, here we are with the Chinese manufacturers pushing on battery
that
spec.
That is significant.
But that size, this thing is so compact. Like, it's a lovely little tidy thing in your hand. And then to have that over 6,000 milliamps squeezed in there, it's just shows you where technology is going for battery capacities. Yeah.
And it's like, again, I think it was Deloitte had research out there the other week about, you know, the most popular phones and the most popular brands. And it seems that it's not quite 50-50, but people are still reluctant to step outside the Apple ecosystem, even when you're getting a device that is same screen size, compact, and then double the battery.
Yeah, 50% bigger, yeah. So you're getting nearly 2,000 milliamps more, over 2,300 milliamps more. So you're going up from nearly 4,000 milliamp hour in the iPhone 17 up to 6,330. So it's a huge step up. And I think, in terms of those people shifting away, I think I saw Adrian Weckler commenting on phone brand popularity in Ireland. You've got iPhone, you've got Samsung kind of neck and neck at the top. Yeah. But then Xiaomi's coming up there because they're pushing ahead with these kind of specs. And every year you're seeing these pretty significant jumps in what they're giving you, whereas we see the other guys, unfortunately, taking a bit of their foot off their pedal because they know they can, which is not good for consumers. But then you've got this competition showing what else is out there. So, yeah, the 17, which we've reviewed, as I said already, it's got a quad camera setup. So that's 350 megapixel cameras on the back and a 50 megapixel selfie up front. So you've got 450 megapixel cameras on this device. And again, they've got that Leica partnership, which really just kind of sings when you're using the right lenses and the right filters and the like.
Was Leica the partner on the Huawei phones back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what made the camera. Because again, I still don't think the wow factor of the Huawei P20 Pro will ever be beaten because it was so far ahead of everything else at the time, if you know what I mean.
Leagues ahead, yeah. In terms of the optical zoom quality, the lens quality, it was just people were like, whoa, 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 this can actually be done in a way. It was like a proof of concept you could buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
And in terms of those cameras, so you said three on the back and then the 50 megapixel front camera. So I'm still using the Google Pixel 10
Pro XL.
That's the one. And the camera bump on the back is significant. What does the form factor feel like? Because it's funny, I find I've got teeny tiny little hands and I find sometimes that the balance of it, it's a bit top heavy.
Yeah, now this is obviously a tidier device and again, it's going to have that squircle or that kind of squared, rounded off square in the top left hand corner when you're looking at it from the back. So very iPhone-esque. So let's not beat about the bush here. The design is taking a lot of cues from the guys in Cupertino. So yeah, but again, just because it's so tidy and compact, I think it weighs less than the iPhone 17 Pro as well, so it's lighter, so it's definitely a lot more balanced in the hand. And they spoke quite a bit about the design ethic or the design approach, where this kind of rounded the corners even softer so they'd fit into the palm of your hand. And that does sound like waffle, but actually when you hold the device, you go, this does sit really nice and nice in that. It sounds ridiculous, but it really does make a difference.
No,
every day
does.
You're using it,
like, because I love the Google Pixel phones, like I absolutely do, and I have been so impressed with this. But again, tiny handies, I feel like I'm getting an L1, the carpal tunnel thing of like stretching my thumbs across. I think I need to move to, this is my dream, I want a phone that is around 6 inches.
Yep.
6 inch screen.
Yeah.
I want something that is not super heavy.
Yep.
But has an amazing camera and an incredible battery life. That's all I want.
Well, yeah, that...
Have I just described
You've described the Xiaomi quite well, the 17, just because of the battery capacity, because you can get those tidier pixels and the smaller iPhones in those Pro models because they do push forward in making sure that the latest specs are there, but the battery is still smaller than those XL models.
And you see, this is my frustration, right? Because I don't want to compromise in terms of my battery, because I'm a heavy phone user. Like, I do everything on my phone. But I found in the last wee while now that this is kind of straining my little paws.
I think that's 5200 milliamps. So the smaller compact Xiaomi 17 is 6300. So you're going up again. Anyway, that's 999 as well, or €1,000 pocket change. That's on Tesco Mobile, Harvey Norman, Air, Vodafone, and Sky Mobile. So there's quite a good range of operators you can get it on, get the device on. But the one I'm most excited about and kind of gleefully holding now is the Xiaomi 17 Ultra. I'll just give you these are snaps I just took before I came into studio.
Oh my gosh.
So the quality is just, you can swipe through, and yeah, the Leica partnership is just singing again.
So I'm looking at black and white photos here now, and they're of, what's that street?
Dawson Street onto Nassau,
So there's a couple here. They both have kind of frozen coffee cups or iced coffee cups. You can see their glasses. You can see the strands of the hair. Like, the attention to detail.
It's like a professional camera.
It really does. There's a bit of, like, this again sounds really notion-y or whatever, but you can sense the depth of the, like, they're not flat images. There's a depth to it.
Yeah. The sensor size, as I mentioned, I think the last time we spoke, they've just put much bigger sensors, so therefore you can let more light in, which gives you that bokeh effect, as they call, so that you've got that kind of 3D, dimensionality. Yeah. That's definitely not a word. But that's quite a whopper of a phone now. So that was launched on the Saturday over at MWC for Xiaomi, the successor to my phone of the year last year. So I'm really excited to get stuck in testing it now. It's €1,500, but that really is the pinnacle of what kind of Xiaomi can put into a device right now. You've got the 6,000 milliamp, because there's so many, the battery is actually smaller than the smaller model because there's so much camera hardware in there, they couldn't fit it all in. But I'm getting very, very excited to get stuck into a proper review.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and get my hands on the Xiaomi 17, because I do think, I think there are some people like you who want the best camera in the world that you can have on a smartphone. And then also people who want to be either to be able to game or whatever. Like, I'm the type of user that my primary thing is emails, a bit of editing, a bit of social media, but it's my office.
Yeah.
And so for me, it is that awful phrase that you said, it's how it sits in the hand and how you can utilize it. So I think, again, for €999 to get 450 megapixel cameras, an incredible battery, like, that is...
The latest processor, the whole chip, you won't have any issues with performance either,
Yeah, and we're going to come, actually we might come to Samsung now, but I know we're going to come back to Honor in a second, but I just want to go to Samsung for a quick second, because I feel bad because I am a fan of Samsung, but I was trying to think of what I say about the S26 on the show this week, and I don't know if I have anything to say about the S26 on the show this
because
week.
It's like the S25
and the S24 and maybe even the S23.
Yeah. Like, they're being called out, and I guess that's just the way it is, because these other brands are not sitting back. They want that market share. People like their Samsungs, they're locked into the ecosystem, they're used to the operating system and the skin that they have on top, but it's hard to get excited when they're not really pushing anything innovative. Like, I got some hands-on time with the devices at MWC too, and there was some, you know, they're incredibly well made. They're stunning kind of design, because they're so refined, they're so kind of compact. And, you know, that's the entry level word we're discussing now in terms of the 26 and the 26 Plus. But incrementally, the upgrades just aren't as significant as they used to be back in the day. So people may not be running out to the shops to have the latest and greatest. Now, the Ultra model, which has always been the one that's at the forefront for all the Samsung devices, This is the S26 Ultra. That has some pretty unique tech in terms of the privacy display. I don't know if your listeners are aware that, you know, a lot of people on the Dart and the buses now have these covers on their iPhones and their devices that you look at it from any sort of angle that isn't straight on, it's like a black screen. It's as if the phone is switched off. Colleagues of mine have it, and it's kind of a running joke going, I can't see a single thing you're showing me because it's 2 degrees off center. So now Samsung has developed this directly into the display. So it's a very impressive tech, and you can switch it on and off too. So you don't actually have to have it on permanently. You can even select zones of the display, like specific zones to go dark or to go blurred or, sorry, kind of blacked out. So when a notification comes in, the person beside you on the bus or the dart can't see what that notification is, but you can still see the rest of the screen. Very, very impressive tech. And I've seen some incredible stabilization content that's being captured on these devices. I don't know how the hell or what magic Samsung are using, but this thing, you can throw it up in the air and spin it upside down and have it locked on the horizon. I think it's called Horizon Lock. And when you look that video back, it looks like the phone wasn't moving. It's...
Yeah. No, but you know, like, the Samsung launches used to be the one that I was most excited for. When everyone else was excited for the Apple launches, I was always excited for the Samsung ones because, like, do you remember they brought out the Edge devices and they had the roundy glass?
It bent over the side,
Gorgeous looking phones.
Pushing, yeah.
And I just feel like, and I said it last year when we covered the launch of the S25 and we spoke to the head of Samsung Ireland, the majority of that interview was about AI on the phone.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I just feel like it's kind of like talking about having a fax machine in 1988.
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone's got it. So like, how else are you going to launch
What's the
phone?
Differentiator? Yeah.
I just, in terms of the design, and yes, there are little features that are cool, but I was surprised when I sat down to think about this week's show that the Samsung phone launch wasn't the first thing out of my gob.
No, and that's just the way things are changing and the excitement levels are shifting to different brands that are pushing boundaries. And like, I don't know if it's Samsung's play at getting people onto their foldable devices, which kind of Z Fold 6 up to the Z Fold 7, that was generational leap. They like halved the thickness, they widened the display, they pushed the tech. This thing was like putting itself or putting Samsung on par with the big hitters, the Honors in terms of foldables and the likes, in terms of what specs they're pushing. People were finally delighted for Samsung to really push the boundaries forward on what they were doing. So I don't know if they're kind of taking a foot off the brake on the S series to get people onto the Z, onto the foldable, the flips and the folds, because these things are being really refined pretty significantly each generation. So again, I loved reviewing the Fold 7. It's on the site and it was just, I was like, finally, they're putting up the competition to the other manufacturers out of China.
Yeah. Let us know what you think. Are you a Samsung diehard and will you be getting your paws on the S26? Am I being too harsh? You can email techtalk@newstalk.com. We're going to take a very quick break and when we come back, we'll hear about the new devices from Honor and we'll have some game reviews as well. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Tech Talk at newstalk.com, as always, is the email address if you want to get in touch. John Riley of TheEffect.net is still with me. Before the break, we were talking about Samsung and I was being a bit teenagery about it, going, meh. But one of the brands that you are consistently excited about over the last wee while is Honor.
Yes.
Tell me, what's the newness there?
So again, they were one of the big hitters at the event. They had their own standalone conference as well to show off their latest foldable phone, along with some other pretty impressive proof of concepts devices that really stole a lot of headlines. The main kind of showpiece was the Honor Magic V6, their next iteration in folding phones. These are super thin, super impressive, and it's only been 6 months since the V5 kind of made itself official here in Ireland, and now 6 months later they're in Barcelona announcing the impending launch of their V6. This thing has a 6,660 milliamp hour battery. Oof. Again, this is in a folding device. This is the biggest battery ever in a folding device. They even had a Guinness World Record playing card holder on site to show that he can throw these cards really fast. And I was like, okay. But then they said, this is the thickness of the battery in these folding phones. They're like almost like a deck of cards, card thin or a playing card thickness.
Wow.
Incredibly, incredibly impressive tech. So it's about 8.75 millimeters when it's folded closed.
That's insane.
That's like smaller than, thinner than most normal slab phones. So it's bananas what the boundaries they're pushing. They've got a triple camera rear setup on the back. That's a 250 megapixel sensors and a 64 megapixel sensor, and then two 20 megapixel selfie cameras. Stupidly durable too, because a lot of worry people would have nowadays is that the foldable phones are just delicate. You have to be careful.
Because that was the case initially when foldable phones became a thing. And there's a friend of mine whose mother went out and bought one and she had to get it replaced 3 times.
Oof.
And again, she wasn't going to raves. It was literally just chucking it in her handbag.
Yeah, and a bit of dust, bit of dirt getting in or whatever it may be. These, like, again, Honor are saying this is IP68, IP69 protection. Those numbers mean nothing to a lot of people, but it basically is water resistant up to, you can dip it. They had a tank of water there at the launch, and they had a woman basically folding and unfolding the device for the entire thing. So it can be in the water tank for half an hour, for just as if you've left it in the bath for whatever bloody reason.
Yeah, as you do. Yeah.
And no issue with the phone. It's also dust resistant. It says dust tight. So yes, that's exactly what you want to hear when you're folding a screen in half in your pocket. So that really is something that was trying to alleviate a lot of people's hesitancy to moving onto these foldable devices. But just the fact it's so bloody thin, you wouldn't even know you had a folding phone in your pocket with a triple camera setup and a massive battery. So Honor came out strong. I don't know if you've seen the videos I put up of the gimbal camera, the robot phone.
So this pops
out of the back like a little alien eyeball, but it's on a three. It's hard to explain.
It's kind of like a periscope, right, on a submarine, and that it kind of comes
up. It flips up from the back, and then it kind of, it can go left, right, up, down. It's kind of like looking around, and it's tracking people. And that was quite a showstopper at the event, where people were getting lots of footage. This thing is called basically just the robot phone, and a lot of excitement. And they even had like a humanoid robot that they're officially or allegedly launching that can do backflips and the like. It was pretty insane kind of atmosphere at this launch. So they came in strong.
Okay, that is do we have release dates?
We don't. For the foldable, it's kind of, the specs are kind of been announced, but the Irish launch and its pricing is still kind of TBC. Summertime. We're looking at June, July maybe for that foldable.
That's something to look forward to.
Yes.
What's the crack with Anker?
Yeah, so Anker had a nice new pair of over-ear headphones. Now, I know your listeners might know them from their battery bars and their cables, but they have Soundcore, which is their kind of audio line, and they announced these new Soundcore Space 2 headphones. Really, really kind of stylish looking guys, coming in this like a minty foam green colour, which is quite nice, but they've got really powerful ANC, so 4-stage ANC, 5-minute charge, that'll give you 4 hours of playback.
Wow.
You've got 3 microphones on each ear cup. You've got 50 hours of battery life with active noise cancellation on, or 70 if you decide to switch it off. And they're coming out on April 21st, and they're just €129.
Sorry, that's insane.
So that's almost coming in about nearly €200 less than the likes of Sony and Bose. And now, I don't know, I haven't got a full chance to test them out properly and compare the audio or the ANC on it, but 50-hour battery for £130.
And they do, I'm just Googling them here, they're kind of Beatsy looking.
Yes, they're
not as shiny or
gamery.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bit more stylish, a bit more kind of sleek. Yeah, yeah.
That's insane for that price point. So £129 from April 21st. We'll have to get a pair in and do a bit of sound testing on them and just see. Because, again, my point with this is I still love the Sony on-ears, the WHMX1000 or whatever it is.
1000X.
It's an awful name.
It's shocking.
It's an awful name. But Harry bought me a pair of them years ago.
They're brilliant.
And it was, I think it was the 3000s or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're old now in comparison to if you walked into a store to buy them. But my gosh, they still sound class.
Yeah.
And they still work incredibly well. So I, even though I didn't pay for them, but I'm happy to pay when you're getting something of that quality.
Yep.
But if these hold water next to those.
Yeah.
For a fraction of the price, you'd be mad not to. Okay, well, we'll come back to that then when we have them in the studio. Any news or buzz from Oppo?
Yeah, so I actually can't say much. I'm one of those guys.
An influencer.
That's why I was there.
Dope.
Yeah, they brought us along. They showed us off a device, but it's under embargo.
Oh, go away.
But anyways, no, the one little caveat or the one little tippet that they did announce is that their Ultra line, so obviously we have the Xiaomi 17 Ultra, the S26 Ultra, but Oppo are going to bring their Find X9 Ultra to the global market. So this is going to kind of, we don't have confirmation yet of Irish availability, but this device is going to be toe-to-toe with the Xiaomi. So we just know they're going to really push boundaries when I keep using that term. But anyways,
pushing the boundaries.
They're going to really make a camera first that happens to be your phone. So the X9 Ultra is going to be kind of, we're going to get more information in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll have an Irish launch date as well for what will be a knockout camera.
Okay, he'll tell us when he can. Yeah. He's got so many exciting projects in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Right, let's briefly turn our attention to a bit of the gaming news. There seems to be it's funny, the inbox over the last little while, I've had people, companies saying, oh, do you want a test code for X, Y, and Z? I can't remember the last time that that's happened as frequently as has been in the last wee while. What have you been playing recently?
Yeah, so I got stuck into High on Life 2. That was on the Xbox Series X. That's just a kind of a very tongue-in-cheek, almost crude first-person shooter title that is, if people know Rick and Morty, that kind of a lot of the writers from there are developing this title called their Squanch Games. Silly name, Squanch. But this one is a successor to, obviously, High on Life, the original, which came out a couple of years ago. It was hugely popular on Xbox Game Pass, one of their biggest kind of third-party launch titles on the service. So, this successor is also on Xbox Game Pass. You have a lot more kind of, basically, the guns talk to you. They're like alien guns with faces on the back that kind of have a bit of a cheeky banter. They take the mic, and that's all part of the story. And you are kind of going around from planet to planet on a kind of as a bounty hunter as such. I won't give away too much of the story. You've got a skateboard this time. It's a bit more kind of like Tony Hawk-y almost in terms of traversal. You're grinding rails. You've got combat that's kind of like Doom Eternal, and a bit of humour, as I said. It's a bit divisive. Some people might find it a bit crude, but the banter is kind of non-stop in this title. And yeah, it's about 10-15 hours. I had a great time playing it. It's our review is on theeffect.net, but I'm a fan of Rick and Morty, all those types of sarcastic, yeah, kind of smart titles. And yeah, it's running on Unreal Engine 5, so it looks the part too in most places. There's a couple of glitches here and there, but they're kind of patching them out as we speak.
Awesome. And you said you can get that on Xbox?
That's on Game Pass. Also, you can buy it on Xbox Series X and S. It's on PS5. And I think it's coming to the Switch 2 soon enough as well.
Oh, fabulous. And Speaking of the Switch 2, you've been dabbling with the game on that.
Yeah, so Mario Tennis Fever, the first kind of official Mario Tennis title that's exclusive to the Switch 2. Again, if you're a Mario fan, a lot of people, like, it sounds niche to have a tennis game that's based on Mario, but they've been doing this for years now, and they've been kind of weirdly popular in a way that people have a big fandom behind it, or there is a big fandom behind it. So I got a code and I was testing it out for the guys in Nintendo, and you know what, it's actually, I get it, it's really good fun. It's they've kind of added in these what they call fever racket systems, so you can kind of, I'm playing against you and I get like an upgrade, like, you know, Mario Kart, you get your shells.
It's
basically like that, but you get it, I can start firing fireballs across to your court, and then if you touch that, you're out for a couple of seconds, so then I can kind of volley back and kind of get my 30, 60 points or whatever this score, you know, in terms of that system. So it's good fun, looks the part on the Switch 2. As I said, it's exclusively on that. It runs at 4K when you're docked it onto the TV where you're going to be playing with family and friends. So great fun, and that's available now on the Switch 2.
And, like, I assume, like all Mario games, it's suitable for the younger gamers in our lives.
Literally 0 to 100. Yeah, it's very family friendly. There's like even a story mode where you start off as baby Mario and baby Luigi. Luigi, and you kind of work up through the ranks to get your powers back and all this kind of thing. So it's very cute and it's very family orientated. So yeah, they know what they're doing. It's a captive audience that love these games, love the characters, and it's a good kind of solid sporting title with Mario in it.
And the exclusive to the Switch 2 thing annoys me.
That's the way you get you to buy the consoles. It has to happen.
I don't like it.
I know the Switch 2 is like, the original Switch is, what are we talking now? It's nearly 2017.
It's old.
Yeah, it's like 9 years old nearly or something. So now the Switch 2 has been out for the guts of 7, 8, 9 months. They've sold about 10 million units, if not more.
Yeah.
That could be even more now. And they just need to get people onto the device. So if you want to play the new Mario Tennis game, you got to pick up the Switch 2.
Ugh, well, there you go. If you have any gaming questions or any device questions, as always, let us know. You can email techtalk@newstalk.com. You can also read all of John's reviews up on theeffect.net. But for the moment, John, thanks a mil.
Thanks, Jess.